In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I wish to thank Father Mark, and Father Peter, and Father John for welcoming me here today. My name is Father Panayoti Bosnos. I serve the parish of St. Athanasios in Aurora, Illinois, and I'm here visiting today with the Student Leadership Board of OCF, the national students who lead the college ministry across this nation, and I've been blessed to ask to preach as it is the great feast of the falling asleep of the Panagia. As we celebrate the falling asleep of the Virgin Mary, the writings and the accounts of the church tell us that she was going every day to the tomb of her son to offer her prayers. And one day as she was there kneeling down, an angel appeared to her and told her that in 3 days' time, she herself would fall asleep. And so she began to prepare for her death. Her prayer then changed from fervent prayer for her son and intercession for the world to a specific prayer, asking that the apostles would be able to be by her side as she fell asleep in the Lord. And the apostles have begun their missionary work and are spread throughout the entire world, as far away as Western Europe and India. But because of her great standing as the Theotokos, the Mother of the Lord, the Holy Spirit went and literally snatched each of the apostles up from where they were preaching and brought them to her side. And so mystically, all of the apostles were able to be next to her. And as she prepared, the writings of the church say that the Blessed Mary washed herself. She dressed herself like a queen, and she waited for her son with his all-holy apostles. And in 3 days' time, her son appeared to her, and he said, "Mary," and like all of those in the Old Testament who have been called by God, when they're called by their name, she says, "Here I am." And her son appears with a multitude of angels, and he carries her soul as she falls asleep into his heavenly kingdom, surrounded by the heavenly choir. And so the icons of this feast depict Christ descending, holding the Theotokos' soul, surrounded by the choir of the angels and the apostles, and in fact, it is on the back of the church here. After this, they buried her body in a new tomb in Gethsemane, and in 3 days' time, they went again to visit her tomb. You see, the Holy Spirit, for some reason, has decided that of all the apostles to be brought to the bedside of the Theotokos, that the Holy Spirit would leave Thomas alone in India for another couple of days. And so while Thomas was late arriving at the upper room to hear the news of Christ's resurrection and to see Christ's first appearance to his apostles, he's also late to be at the bedside of the Theotokos. And while you might be able to blame him for the first situation, the fact that the Holy Spirit didn't mystically grab him up and bring him there, we must give him a break a little bit. But when Thomas gets there 3 days later, much like when he spoke to the apostles first about the resurrection of Christ, he said, "I want to see her. I want to see her body." So they brought him to the tomb and they opened the tomb. And as they opened the tomb, they all witnessed Christ once again carrying not just her soul into his heavenly kingdom, but the body of his all-holy mother, reuniting her soul and body in a resurrection and bringing her into his heavenly kingdom and assuming her place at his right side. And so thank God that Thomas was late once again. Because of his lateness the first time around, we understood that in fact Christ bodily rose as Thomas was able to touch his side. And because he's late this time, we get to hear about the assumption of the Theotokos and her taking her place at the right side of her son. These are the events that happen on this feast day. This is what we celebrate. But the significance of this feast, the significance of what happens as Christ not only brings her soul into his heavenly kingdom, but then raises her body and places her at his right side, the significance for us today can actually be found if we go back into the Old Testament. We see just a few weeks ago, two blind men calling out to Christ, and they say, "O Son of David, have mercy on us." Christ truly is a son of David, coming from the line of David. But we see that the first son of David, Solomon, after David's death, assumes his place as king. Solomon, the first son of David, goes to his throne room, and within hours, minutes, it doesn't even narrate how quickly it is, he has just been made king and seated on his own throne. And his brother goes to his mother, Bathsheba, and asks her and says, "Will you please talk to the king on my behalf?" And so in his first day, the queen enters. And it's narrated in the scriptures in Third Kingdoms, and it says, quote, "The king rose up to meet his mother, and he kissed her tenderly. And then he sat down on his throne, and a throne was placed for the king's mother, and she was seated at his right hand. Then she said to him, 'I desire one small petition of you. Do not turn away your face.' And the king said to her, 'Ask it, mother, for I will not refuse you.'" And so as the king takes his place on his throne, he in fact has a throne set up beside him on his right side for his mother. And this continues on, not just with Solomon, the first son of David, but through the entire line of the kingdom of Judah. And until the end and the destruction of the kingdom of Judah, the queen mother always sits at the right hand of her son, and she advises. The greatest in the kingdom after the king is his mother, not his wife. And the kingdom of Judah maintains this relationship the entirety of its existence, with the queen mother sitting at his right side, whispering into his ear. And so, as the mother of our Lord falls asleep, the son of David, the true son of David, returns. He stands up and he goes to kiss her tenderly and to bring her into his heavenly kingdom and to sit her at his right hand. This is why Christ assumes the Theotokos before any of us, why she gets to experience paradise, because the king needs his mother by his side. And what does she do in that role? Now that the Theotokos, the all-holy mother of our Lord, has assumed her rightful place as the mother of the king at his right hand, what does she do? Well, the same thing that Bathsheba did. St. Paul tells us that when we were baptized, we received the gift of adoption as sons, that we become sons of the God Most High through our rebirth in the baptismal font in the waters of regeneration. And so if we are God's sons and daughters, we are brothers with Christ according to his humanity, then the Theotokos is as much our mother as she is his. And on that first day, what did she do? She responded to the request of Solomon's brother. What does the Theotokos do now, seated at the right hand of the Lord? The same thing that Bathsheba did. She turns to her son and she says, "I desire a petition of you. Do not turn your face away." And Christ, turning to his mother as Solomon turned to Bathsheba, says, "Ask it, mother, for I will not refuse you." We've spent the last 15 days preparing for today, celebrating the Paraklesis services, and we celebrate them throughout the life of the church. In the evening prayers and the morning prayers, we are constantly turning to the Theotokos and asking her for her intercessions and her help. This is because, as the Queen Mother, she sits at his right hand. And when she asks, he responds, "I will not refuse it." We have the Theotokos as our great intercessor. And so today we celebrate her taking her place rightfully beside her son. The kingdom of heaven is now prepared. The king has what he needs in order to rule and listen to and administer his people. He said before in the Gospel of John that his father's house has many rooms, and he goes to prepare a place. He's prepared a place for the Theotokos at his right hand, and today she takes it. In taking that place, she looks at all of us, her children, who've received the adoption through our baptism. And she speaks to the King, our Lord and Savior, good things about us, and asks him the petitions that we ask her to bring to him on our behalf. We are blessed today that we celebrate our best and greatest advocate before the throne of God, his all-holy mother. Amen.